This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Peter Kornblum. Peter's new article at Foreign Policy is a revelation of an exchange between the President of the United States in December of 1962, following the midterms, following the resolution of the Cuban Missile Crisis, to his colleague, Adlai Stevenson, a senior member of the Democratic Party. And the letter was an apology. And apologizing for what? Why does the President of the United States need to apologize in a document that we didn't know about at the time and was many years not obvious to historians writing up the story of the Cuban Missile Crisis? Eyeball to eyeball was what I remember. XCOM was the name of the committee that the president put together once there was undeniable photographic information from a U-2 pilot over Cuba that there were intermediate missiles deployed capable of nuclear warheads, and that the Soviets had established a base 90 miles from the United States that threatened not only the security of the United States, but also the midterm elections. 1962, the president was going to face a congressional election, the first midterm of his term, where historically the president's party loses seats. So the president was looking to avoid looking in any fashion as weak in front of the Republican contest. A Republican senator had made remarks about there being some threat from Cuba, some weakness on the Kennedy administration part dealing with Castro and Khrushchev. Those remarks were in August. In September, there was no clarity because U-2 flights were suspended. But once there was clarity, the president put together XCOM, consisting of his brother Bobby Kennedy, the attorney general, Robert McNamara, secretary of defense, Maxwell Taylor, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Dean Rust, the secretary of state, the McGeorge Bundy, who was special aide to the president, Secretary Douglas Dillon of the Treasury, special counsel Ted Sorensen, who was the president's Boswell, and CIA Director John McCone. Those nine men set together. And Peter, we need to remember how scary this was. The president's first instinct on that first day was to attack, to send in the bombers. And Curtis LeMay, head of the Air Force, was ready to oblige. More, they were ready to invade the island in those next days. So Adlai Stevenson weighs in with an opinion. Recover it for us, Peter. What was his recommendation right away to the XCOM that was ready to go to war?
The initial consensus of the XCOM on the very first day, and in the second day as well, October 16th, October 17th, 1962, was that the United States should launch a massive series of bombing raids on the missile sites in Cuba, and to assure that all the missiles and warheads were destroyed, that we would have to invade Cuba. And so the use of force was the consensus at the very beginning of this crisis, except for one person, UN Ambassador Adlai Stevenson. On October 16th, he had a private meeting after the first XCOM meeting with the President of the United States and immediately said, no, you shouldn't just go in and bomb the hell out of Cuba. You should attempt negotiations before you start that, and you should talk to our allies in the rest of the world about what's happening, and you should actually reach out, you know, through secret emissaries to Nikita Khrushchev and to Fidel Castro to basically say this is unacceptable and those missiles have to go. And the next morning he wrote Stevenson wrote Kennedy a fuller memoranda, basically laying out that because of that, what he called incalculable dangers of attacking Cuba for the advent of nuclear war between the superpowers, that Kennedy should tell the XCOM that he would be willing to negotiate U.S. Nuclear bases in Europe for the withdrawal of the missiles in Cuba. And of course, when this idea came up to the XCOM, people opposed it because they felt that we would be betraying a NATO ally, Turkey, if we took the missiles out of Turkey in the middle of this crisis. But Kennedy went ahead to avoid nuclear war and secretly did trade those missiles. And so he never told anybody this. He didn't tell Stevenson that he'd taken his idea and implemented it. Several of his top aides did know, including Secretary of State Dean Rusk, who basically pushed the idea of doing the swap in secret. And Robert Kennedy, who was John Kennedy's emissary to the Soviet ambassador to make this proposal. So some of his top people did know, but they kept it a secret for years and years, for decades, for more than 25 years.
Right.
This was the main secret of the Cuban Missile
Crisis. Charles Bartlett knew, the man who was co-author of the article establishing.
No, I would say that Charles Bartlett did not know the final arrangement.
He knew about the back channel negotiation, Peter. Let me be clear here.
He was part of reaching out to the Russians, but not with that proposal. That was not the proposal that he carried. But the point was that Bartlett and Alsop covered up the fact that the president of the United States was responsible for the attack on Adlai Stevenson, who was his political rival in the Democratic Party. And this attack on Stevenson helped Kennedy distance himself from the real truth of the matter, which is that he had actually swapped missiles. He had actually negotiated with the Soviets. And lest, you know, the political people in Washington and the country attack him for being soft, he kept that a secret and blamed the whole thing on the whole idea on Stevenson as dismissing the idea. So he distanced the White House and the administration from that idea that a trade had happened, that there had been a quid pro quo to end the missile crisis.
And the Soviets kept the secret as well, which is surprising.
Yes, they did. They were asked to keep it a secret. That was part of the deal, that it would be secret. And they kept it secret. They actually did.
To underline how dangerous all this was, what the U.S. did not know, even with the U-2 overflights, and there was a U-2 shot down by accident, it turns out, by the command incompetence of the Soviets on the scene during this whole crisis. What no one in Washington knew for many years, that the Soviets had deployed tactical nuclear weapons to Cuba to be used with Iskander missiles, the same name they use today. In fact, they were deployed above Guantanamo base during this crisis. And if there had been an invasion, the Soviets commander on the scene was empowered to use those missiles or any means necessary to protect himself. Peter, none of that was available to the American public for many years. It was revealed later. So,
yes, it was revealed at a conference that I attended in Cuba in 1992 with all of the surviving Kennedy White House officials. The CIA never identified, knew about these tactical nuclear weapons. There were two tactical systems. One was a drone system, and one was battlefield short-range missiles. And you know, the Cubans and the Soviets had positioned one of the tactical weapons above the base of Guantanamo, and they were going to obliterate the base if the United States invaded, so that the United States would not have a command and control center for the invasion. So, yes, we avoided, you know, the use of nuclear weapons in Cuba by negotiation, diplomacy, and compromise. But that fact was kept secret for over 25 years, and the wrong lessons of the missile crisis were learned by an entire generation of scholars, of policy analysts, of policymakers, and even presidents. And that is why spin and secrets, when it comes to something so dangerous, is so dangerous today. Fortunately, President Biden does have access to the true history of the missile crisis, and that will help him apply those lessons to the time of crisis we're in today.
However, Peter, I add with the ironic note, because your piece is so revelatory, we can only assume the Kremlin has the same information about what actually happened and isn't making calculations on the basis of we don't want to look like we're weak. Peter Kornbluh writing at Foreign Policy, the facts of a December 5th letter from the president to the ambassador to the United Nations apologizing for what we now know to be false information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.